Episode 212, September 21st, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the Racist Rob and Racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show. Now on
with the countdown. With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Have we lost another member of the show, Joe?
Dropping like flies.
Yeah, last week it was Tim, and now one of our, I don't know if favorite is the term, but
he's the
someone,
least favorite.
Clearly, yeah, someone's least favorite person ever connected to the show. Chris Restivo, he says that he's breaking up. He's done. He hates you, Joe. He's retiring from comedy because of what you said. So, good job, Joe Robinson.
Yeah, actually, I think I did my part, right? But if you're a fan of the Rob and Joe Show, you know Chris Restivo. Chris came on over a year ago, and I was going to try to talk him into quitting comedy. And he came on, and he did a bunch of impressions, and it ended up being hysterical, not for probably the reasons that he thought it was. And, you know, we've never had him back on, although he's been clamoring. But I just had to say enough at some point. We had a good friend recently unfriend him because of just some content on Facebook. That's, you know, I mean, again, he wants there to be no line drawn because he's a comic. But see, here's the problem. You have to be attempting to be funny. You can't just say the N word and say the F word referring to gays. You can't just say it unless you're trying to be funny. Just calling them that is just bigotry. So
yeah, political correctness has nothing to do with just being rude.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he's under this impression that I have a problem. I've heard comics say those words a million times. I just heard Mike Fanata do a joke the other day where his wife wrote a note for him in his lunch, and that's what she wrote. She called him a faggot.
Right.
And I had absolutely no problem with it. Again, it's all in context, but if what he did was he posted a video and he has a black friend, and for some reason, if you can find a black person that's okay with you saying the N-word, for some reason that makes it okay. No black people are going to have a problem with that. So he posted a video on Facebook, which wasn't an attempt to be funny. It was just him saying the N-word with this guy over and over again, and I just decided that I'd had enough. I had enough. Because what happens is he's attaching his name to this show, and I can't have people get in it. And I want people to get it, but if they're too confused and they think that this is somebody that we are in support of, and I can't be labeled that way, so I just said enough and I unfriended him. And he says he doesn't like the drama and never to talk to him again, but his way to avoid this drama was to post on Facebook that we're no longer friends. And of course, every comedian came in to take a giant shit on him. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But
he took down the thread, though. I'm just imagining him walking to a bar full of all black people yelling, "What's up, N-words?" And they get mad. Then he pulls out this video and they're like, "Oh, it's okay now."
Don't worry, my friend Jeff, the black guy, said it was okay. So,
is it possible he's in cahoots with Dan Ninen?
Well, I don't believe
Chris is not able to get in cahoots with anyone. He doesn't have that ability.
Yeah, but again, I was just trying to explain to him that I wasn't interested in his defense, but he did tell me never to mention him on this show.
He also said I'm much funnier than you and that he still likes me. So.
Well, that was after he had he defended himself in one sentence that was it was probably, I don't want to exaggerate, 150 words long without a capital letter or a period. And then after he explained himself, he then at the very end, he said, and Rob's funnier than you. And he also has respect for you. So for some reason, I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I am. I'm okay. I don't mind that people think you're funnier. That doesn't bother me, especially the Chris Restivos of the world. But anyway, it's a breakup. I will no longer be friends with Chris Restivo, and I will no longer, I will mention him if he does something hilarious. I will. Sure.
Well, and then last week we talked about how we upset Tim, which we owned up to, and Tim unfriended us, our show announcer, Tim. And
Tim was our show announcer.
Joe's friend of 30 years.
Nothing to do with the show anymore, he told me.
Yeah. Have you made up with Tim, or is he still upset?
I sent him a text because you told me that he was in a poker tournament and he did well, and he texted everybody who didn't include me. So yep. I texted him. Yep. I said, Tim, what do we got to do, bud? Can we not? Let's just be done. He goes, everything's okay. Just I don't want to be associated with the show anymore. I said, okay. You know, so his feelings are hurt. We apologize. He doesn't care. Well, he says he doesn't care. I'm sure he does.
Mm. Well, I message him on Facebook because we're not friends, but you can still message him. And I say, can we be friends again? He said, sure. And then I apologize, reiterated some things that I had said before. And he had a one-word response, right. I didn't feel like it was that warmly received. So I think we have a ways to go.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, where former show announcer Tim is concerned, that was, we were wrong there, where former, I don't know what you want to call him, show guest Chris Restivo is concerned, he's dead wrong. So again,
is it possible, like on the Michael O'Mara show, which we were on this past week, we'll get to that, you had Mark Ronick and Lowell Melzer. Well, Mark was part of Team OS, leave it and take Buzz. And then they started their own network and their own podcast. Is Tim Moran and Chris Restivo going to do that?
Yeah, that would. I don't like the chances of the success of that show. Not because of Tim. Chris has actually tried to start a podcast on several occasions. And what he does before he posts it, he says, an epic episode, you know, awesome. He uses these adjectives. And then when you listen to it, it's clearly not epic. I couldn't get through 5 minutes of it.
We were on the Mike O'Mara show this past, I guess it was Thursday, I think, right?
Yep.
For the first time, there wasn't a segment dedicated to me and my life and whether I'm going to step up to the plate and propose to my beautiful girlfriend.
Which is probably good. Yeah, probably good, but they did still come at you for not attending the murder mystery.
Yeah, do I need to defend that to people?
No, but I will say this. It's like, I'm like, well, this will be fun. I'll take their side, right? Yeah. But then you got very serious, so I backed off.
Well,
you
no.
See, you didn't look like it was fun for you.
No, I have no issues with me. Look, I wanted to be there, but they changed the date on us.
And no, you explained yourself on the Mike O'Mara show.
Why I haven't explained myself on our show.
All right, go ahead.
You know, we had agreed on a date, August 29th, which everyone could do, the draft house I'm talking about. And then they said, we can't do it that day. Can we do it the Friday before the 28th? Justin couldn't do it. That was the uncensored show that I was also on. He clearly couldn't get out of that. It's a radio commitment. And the next available date was either September 4th or October 2nd, which is what we're doing with our new one. And I was the only one that couldn't do the 4th because I was at Magoobie's headlining for a whole week. And we're desperate to get in there. And I said, I don't want to delay it another month, so let's just do it. And I feel like that was the right decision for Die Laughing Productions and our relationship with the Draft House.
Yeah, well, we have another show on October 2nd. I will say, if you are a listener and you are anywhere near Arlington, Virginia, by the way, I come from Arlington, Virginia, and I live in Glen Burnie, Maryland. So you can clearly get to Arlington, Virginia in an hour, but come to the show. It's a brand new show on October 2nd. But yeah, no, I had absolutely no issue with it.
We're trying to get Oscar Santana involved in this one. We had Rob Spiewak last time, and I'm not that confident after talking to him last week.
Well, here's what bugged me. So I said to Rob Spiewak, I said, hey, come do it. We were going to make him and his wife one of the couples on the game show. That way we could promote. He would still have a lot of content, but he didn't really have to rehearse or anything like that. He could just come, be a part of it. We could market it using him.
Because
blah, blah,
the
blah.
Role of the couple on the game show is just to literally answer questions, like how they would answer them.
Just like you're playing the newlywed game.
Yes,
so
exactly.
He couldn't do it, so I said, well, let's just ask Oscar. And is that his fiance? They're engaged, correct?
I don't believe they're engaged yet.
No, that's, sorry, that's guys. Anyway, his girlfriend Shannon. Or whatever you want to call her, right? And I said, we'll just invite them. Can you guys make it? And he goes, well, let me check my schedule. Well, what does that even mean? He's on Tech 411. He clearly has his schedule available to him, right? I'm 46 years old. I'm not on a show that promotes technology. By the way, all the ads that he was involved in on the Mike O'Mara show, they're all for these very sophisticated technical gadgets, and he's involved. Somehow he hasn't mastered the calendar. So obviously he doesn't want to do it, right?
No. I'm sure he knows that he's available, but if you're talking about doing something with your woman, then that...
I never considered that. Yeah,
you can't agree to do something without talking to the lady first. Is she going to want to do it? Does she have something planned? But he could have just said that. Instead, he just said, I didn't check my schedule. So I think he was saying no in a polite way.
So, yeah, I think you're right about that. But you don't put Tawanda's schedule in your phone, do you?
Tawanda's schedule? No, I don't have her schedule on my phone. No.
Because you need to know that in order to know if you can do things, right?
Yeah, like I wouldn't commit to something unless I talked to her first.
Yeah,
I would know most of the time whether she would want to do that, but it would just be, I'm the one that has the more complicated schedule if it's a weekend thing.
Yeah, I definitely have a more complicated schedule than girlfriend Katie, but I probably should put her schedule in my phone.
Her schedule? What does she have going on?
Well, maybe if she says, oh, I'm going to do this on this weekend, I put it in there so I know either that weekend's free or I'm obligated that weekend.
Okay. All right, well.
You think that's a bad idea?
I will put Tawanda's schedule.
Because we just I'm just saying, we just saw a case where Oscar couldn't commit, not because of his schedule, but because the schedule of his girlfriend.
You know what? It's probably better if we just get a couple from the audience, because I don't want someone trying to be funny. I want it to be natural and organic, but we'll see. Come October 2nd, you understand what we're talking about. Ravens postgame, the Joe Robinson jinx continues. The last time you hosted the postgame was their last losing season, and they're 0-2. They're 0-2 out of the gate. But I thought we had a really good show last night. Joe's doing the post game. Me and Tommy Sambaza are adding our 2 cents. It starts every half hour after the game on 98 Rock, 98online.com. And I thought it was a really good show, though. The team was a bad performance, but I thought we were really good.
Yeah, we got a lot of good feedback from the texts, and we got callers, and the calls were funny. And then I got some feedback from Rick, the program director there, and he said it was the best show. So, yeah, good news all around and good feedback. Although,
well, not all good news, because he wants to meet with you.
Well, we meet every week, but so I will say this. You know, I get a little intimidated because I'm a performer. I'm not, I don't know. You know, that's one thing about what we do, especially when we do stand-up. We get our feedback. We get it. Because the audience says, oh, I appreciate what you do, or I don't like what you do. You know right away. But here, you have to sit down and you have to let one person tell you what you did wrong. By the way, I'm sure he's right 100% of the time. I'm just not good at receiving that, right? So I'm in there. Well, I'm feeling good.
I'll just interrupt you, but our issue, or my issue with radio and being told what to do, is I know what I want to hear and what I think is good, but the person in charge has a better feel of what the listener responds to, and those don't always line up. So, you know, my feeling, if we did the show that I'd want to do, I think it would be a better show. But if it gets half the listeners, then it's not a better show. So he knows what the listeners want. He knows what works. So that's the in my mind, that's always the debate. Well, but this is better. But not if it doesn't get better ratings. Not if more people listen. Less people listen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that he said, get to it. Like, get to it. He wants the breaks to be quicker, and he wants you to get to it. And I'm sure that's exactly what needs to be done. And I did notice our breaks, like when we take callers, one call. right out and into spots. We're doing a lot more breaks. I think we did, I don't know, I think we did like 13 breaks this last time. And we had one, two, three, four. I think we had five breaks where we had callers.
Yeah, it was a good show. But this is where I'm terrified for you, because this week when you're meeting him, he says he wants to listen back with you to some of the breaks.
Yeah, I'm not going to, I don't know that I'll do well doing that.
That sounds very uncomfortable to me.
I mean, I could easily listen to my listen back and say, oh God, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't do that. You know, I don't want to do that. Now, luckily I haven't responded. I am getting a haircut at 11:30 that day.
I think that's going to help.
I'm leaving the station at 10. So I can say, look, I got 30 minutes and then I can make it to my haircut.
Well, when the Ravens or any NFL team, when they watch film of the game, after the game, they're not watching the plays that they did well. They're going to be showing them the plays that they need to improve on. That you need to make this buck. You need to make that route yard more shallow. You need to do this. He's not going to be playing back segments where, oh, that was perfect.
Yeah,
he's
no.
He's going to be playing segments where there were mistakes.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've often heard about like them people watching film in the film room. They show all the big hits, everybody goes crazy. I don't get to experience that.
No.
You're right. He's going to be like, well, that break was good. Let me go where you need work.
Yeah, there's not going to be him saying, oh, this was hilarious. There's like 18 people. Yeah, you killed it, Joe.
No, it's going to be me and him, and he's going to pick the places. And by the way, I always try to do, and I've said this on two occasions, I try to do like a preemptive strike. Like I know a couple things that I didn't do that I should do. So I try to let him know that I recognize those things. But one of the things I do is I say too much. And yeah. I don't know how to stop doing that.
Yeah. Be a better broadcaster.
Yeah.
I have some breaks I'd like to follow up with you guys on too.
No thanks.
Well, I will do that, but we have to do it on the air.
Okay.
All right. You want to do that as a segment?
Yeah.
That is, Eric the actor just took his pants off.
Yes. He's going to love it. Robbie critiquing. I wonder if Robbie critiques us, if the Eric the actor is going to disagree with him. If he has 50 critiques, mm-hmm. will Eric the actor disagree with any of them?
He will, just to make it seem like he's being honest, that it's just not, that he's taking it seriously. But he'll agree with 45 out of the 50.
Oh, I think it'll be a higher ratio than that. As a matter of fact, you have a story from about Eric the actor from last week.
Wait a second. I just want you to know that he said, great segment idea with 5 exclamation points, course, 6 exclamation points.
Now, but will he give that credit for that idea to you or to me? Because last week, I told a story that Katie had said to me when we were all hanging out, and I decided, let's tell that on the air, which I don't believe she was comfortable with, and nor was Joe, because it was about the two of you. And so you get credit for allowing it. I get credit for deciding to tell it. And Robbie starts laughing, not just to add something to the show. He's laughing because he generally thinks this is funny. I'm talking about the Skittles comment from last week. That candy tastes like Skittles. Eric the actor and Miggity Maxi, our listener of the year and our most famous listener, go on Twitter, greatest producing ever, Robbie laughing at that bit. What are you talking about? There's four people involved here. Two allowed the story to be told and one told it. Those are the three that have the most credit. The person who has no credit in this, nothing to do with this, is Robbie. And they're like, oh my God, amazing.
That's amazing how he laughed at something funny.
Yeah, he thought somebody else was funny that he had nothing to do with. Great job, Robbie. seriously, that's how like a 9-year-old girl acts if like Taylor Swift like drops the microphone. Oh my God, she dropped it, but she did it so cool. I love her. But
they were like, giving me some credit for other things too.
You should get credit. You do a great job.
Well, you shouldn't get credit when it's somebody else should get credit.
No, if a comic goes in a room and kills, you shouldn't walk out and walk up to the, oh, that table, you were laughing so great. You're amazing. Best job ever. And just not say nothing to the guy who just killed for an hour telling jokes he fucking wrote. But these two fanboys can't wait to tell you how amazing it was that you laughed at something funny that Joe and Katie did that I told.
Chris Stevo showed up in chat, by the way, just for a brief second.
Of course. He wanted to say farewell to the audience, and everybody's like, fuck off, get out of here. Of course, he was long gone by the time all that happened.
Yeah. Well, I did Facebook about it that we were going to mention him, so I'm sure that piqued his interest. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Hey, Wendy Townsend, the world came to her defense this week. Hear why. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, October 2nd at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/DieLaughingProductions or robinjoe.com. And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Our friend Wendy Townsend, comedian here in Baltimore. What's her role on 98 Rock, her producer
title? She's the assistant producer, but she also used to be half of a show that was on the Moore Network, It's Mickey.
Yep, and she's a former guest on this show. There's a guy, his name is Bob Phillips. He books a room, used to, called Bellissimo's.
Can I tell before we tell Wendy Park, can I just tell the quick story about when I headlined Bellissimo's? Can I just tell
you mentioned this before. I don't know.
I'll tell it again. Okay. So I go to Bellissimo's. Bellissimo's is in Finksburg, Maryland, which I had never heard of until I was asked to headline the show. I believe I was the first headliner for this show, if I'm not mistaken. And I show up, and there are nine comics on the show. Oh, by the way, he had a band play beforehand. So now I'm pissed. I'm like, why are all these fucking people here doing comedy? This is too much. The audience, it's one of these rooms where there's like 40 people in the audience. They're gonna leave. One, two, three. Luckily, somebody doesn't show up. I'm like, thank God, at least we can bump it to 8 instead of 9. This fucker pulls somebody out of the audience to do stand-up. And I go over to him. I go, dude, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean? Somebody didn't show up. I go, get her the fuck off this. I'm serious. I got pissed off. I lit her. Then I lit the next comic. I walked over to Jeremy Hall, who's funny that I love, and go, do me a favor, cut your set. I know you're supposed to do 25. I need you to do 15. And I had to run the show.
Right.
Afterwards, I walk up to him, and I walk up to a guy who was helping him named Bryce, who I liked. And I said, listen, you can't do this. Okay, first of all, these comics that you have, they're barely above open micers, okay? A lot of them are great. Eric Woodworth was there. He's great. Jeremy's great. Then there's just some people that just weren't able
to
carry a show.
They're new. They're not ready.
Of course, 9 comics, they can't do that. People will never return. I go, dude, you can't do this. If you do this, you're going to lose your audience. Next show, 8 comics. He reduced it by 1. So that's this guy, Bob Phillips.
Yeah, and I was supposed to headline there October 30. He booked me like 6 months in advance. He was posting about it constantly, praising me a lot about my shows to the military. So I was kind of looking forward to it because I'd met him at this show with Mickey a few months ago. And he seemed really excited to have me and was very complimentary and nice. Well, Bellissimo's, for whatever reason, the restaurant decided to stop having comedy. And he posted about it on Facebook, kind of a nice message. And then he sends an email out to 102 people, basically all comics. I'm so sorry to report that Bellissimo's has closed out comedy. I want to thank all of you for your help and want to rag on Wendy Townsend for being such a bitch. I posted something in November of 2014 about our very first show. What the hell did I know? I complimented a comedian and I used the words petite and blonde, et cetera, in a totally innocent post. And then I got trashed. Wendy, don't use the word misogynist until you look it up. You are so off base. It makes you look stupid. I know you were trying to seem intelligent by using it, but you were off.
Seem.
So I guess
Wendy, and then I texted her about it. I was like, what's this about? And she's supposed to headline, and she canceled because she didn't like how he talks to some women, some female comics. And he defends himself by calling her a bitch, which sort of makes her seem right. Like, if I say, you know, I'm against, you know, I'm not a violent person, and then you say I am and I punch you in the face, well, then I am a violent person.
Well, that's exactly what I said, because a lot of people responded. Although I will, I love our boy Dylan, who is in the, who's in the murder mystery, but he sent out this self-important message where basically chastising anybody who hit reply all to this, which annoyed me, and I love Dylan, but it annoyed me because this wasn't about making yourself look important. It was about showing somebody that you're willing to defend them publicly. That's what it was about. It didn't have anything to do with whatever
now,
it is.
I disagree.
Fine, but you understand, I get to know my intent. You don't. You don't get to impose your intent on me. I'm the one who has intent. Now, I can lie about what my intent is, but I'm not trying to impress whoever, Phoenix Rising or whoever the hell else is copied on this thread. I'm trying to say, listen, you're out of line. And we're a community that defends one another. That's basically what I wanted to do there. And again, when Dylan went in there to explain that that wasn't appropriate, he basically crapped on the seven or eight people who had already messaged. Do you follow what I'm saying? Who were friends?
No, I think he was saying, at least I took it as, the point has been made. And at this point, we're all just repeating the same thing. Dude, you're out of line. You're wrong. I mean, I messaged Wendy myself, and then I ended up trying to make it funny. I was like, hey, I'm the real victim here. It was my headlining date that was postponed. People kept saying, I stand with Wendy, hashtag. And I was like, no, I stand with Rob, you know, shows before hoes.
That was funny, but I'll give you an
example. And then, this is sort of funny, but then I started a Facebook event that Wendy and I are co-headlining the Royal Farms Arena, which is an arena in Baltimore that seats about 15,000, on October 3rd. And all the proceeds go to us for having to deal with this monster, Bob Phillips. And some people, like, shared the event. They think it's real. They think that we're actually co-headlining.
You guys are playing
the same arena
Royal
that
Farms
Kevin
arena.
Hart headlines, whatever. But no, but it's just like, it takes some balls, or I don't even know if that's the word, but to send that email out to every comic, basically.
Well, it's just a matter
of... You're never
going
to book a room anymore, but it was that important for you to say, to call her a bitch.
Well, it's a matter of you not knowing your place. That's basically what it is. You don't know your place. And by the way, you said that the room closed. Well, of course it closed. It was poorly run, and it was explained to him early on how to have success. And the way to have success is to have a tight show, make it funny. He had a crowd. Well, what happened is people would go and go, wow, we went to this show with this little place, but it was amazing. But instead, he wanted to endear himself to this entire community, which, by the way, he's now ostracized from.
That's
but he
the
wanted
irony of all this.
He wanted to endear himself, and the way he wanted to do it was by booking too many comics. And what he did was ruin his own show. That's really what happened. You're right. It's so ironic that now he doesn't have a friend in the business. He can't. Right. He's got to go do something else.
Well, this just plants the seeds for Dave's show for to return to save us all. Come back, Uncle Dave. All right, but Wendy, we love you. We're on your side. Robbie, you saw the Emmys last night. Joe and I did not. We were doing the Ravens thing. I have a feeling you didn't like it.
Yeah, they marginalized Letterman's retirement, and I didn't like it.
How did
what
they?
Do you mean?
I mean, come on, what happened?
Well, they talked. They said they were going to have a whole segment about the shows that ended this year, and Jon Stewart got a lot more space than Letterman did. Not only that, as soon as that happened, I knew that The Late Show wasn't going to get the Emmy for talk show. Sure enough, they gave it to Jon Stewart. That motherfucker hasn't been on the air half the time Letterman has.
Well, it's not an award for being on the air, but I will say this. I just heard an interview with Norm Macdonald, and I loved it because he said something that I always say. If you like The Daily Show, that's great, but most of you are smug. Most of you are. It's just self-important. You know, it's where it's somehow represented as the news when really it's just them shitting on Fox News, which is fine. I don't care that you do that. but that can't be your source of information. And I've said that a million times. I said, you know, that's a comedy show. And I like Jon Stewart. I think he's really funny. I think he's really smart. But one of the things is he wants to have his cake and eat it too. He wants to have something to say, but then when he's called out on it, he wants to say, hey, it's a comedy show. We're just joking around, which always bothered me. Be one or the other. And just as much that bothered me is the Scott Apples of the world that watch that show and they think that's the nightly news. And it's not. It's all editorialized. It's one-sided. And it's them crapping on basically Fox News.
I think that we knew that Letterman was ending, and the Jon Stewart thing came out a little more of a surprise. So it doesn't surprise me that they gave Jon Stewart leaving more airtime than Letterman.
That doesn't surprise you?
No.
Well, I'm not Letterman saying it's right. In my opinion, you know, the David Letterman show is, I mean, it, in terms of what we do, it's probably the most, well, probably the Tonight Show, but maybe Letterman is a close second to the most important show for comedians in history, right?
Yeah, but we've had in recent years, there was all kinds of stuff when he left. He got the Kennedy Center honor a few years ago. I think there was some other comedy award that was given to him or named after. I mean, there's been a lot of David Letterman recognition, and they probably felt like it's been there, done that, and let's give Stewart the limelight on this one.
Stewart,
it makes sense to me.
Should Stewart have pulled a Ving Rhames and given his award to Letterman?
Yes.
I'm dead serious. I think, by the way, I also think that's a BS move. I do. Now, I thought it was really sincere when I saw it happen the first time, but every time I've seen it after that, it's calculating because then
who did Ving Rhames give it to? I forget.
He gave it to Jack Lemmon, and it was moving. Right. If you go on YouTube and just Google Ace Award, he won an award for Only in America where he played Don King, and he was amazing. Mm-hmm. But he said, no, Jack Lemmon is here, you know. He's in the conversation of the greatest actors of all time, and I don't deserve to stand in his shadow. And he was humble, and he gave this guy his award. And I'm telling you, if you could get a chance, just take a look at it, and you'll know it's sincere. Or these guys are just great actors, and I believe them.
Either way, it's impressive. So is that the only thing that bothered you, Rob? Because I just seeing the results, you know, I don't watch every show, but I would have hoped that Better Call Saul had gotten a little more love.
Yeah, of course. And the guy that plays Mike was also nominated. And,
yeah, Jonathan Banks.
And he was the winner, actually, said him by name.
When Rob and I discussed it, I waive the right to have an opinion because I don't watch any shows except for Better Call Saul. Now, you know, I think Better Call Saul, I don't see a better show. I don't watch a better show. I'm watching Narcos on Netflix. I watch The Walking Dead. None of them are anywhere near as good as Better Call Saul. But I also thought that Jonathan Banks, his performance was a standout in already a great series.
He plays the same character, Mike, that he did in Breaking Bad, if you haven't seen Saul.
But he's got a lot more range because this is his backstory. He's not a character in somebody else's story. So you get to see, and there's one scene where his son is killed, you know, spoiler alert, but his son is killed because he ends up, he doesn't want to take money, but his dad convinces him to do it. He says, look, everybody does it, and they're gonna see you as an outcast if you don't take this money. So his son said, okay, I'll do it. He took the money, and then they killed him anyway. And it was probably the most powerful scene that I saw the entire year, and maybe just based on that, I wouldn't have minded seeing him win the Emmy. But again, I know Peter Dinklage, everybody drools all over his performance. I've never seen Game of Thrones, so I really can't.
Not that he wasn't good this year, but I felt like his character had a more happening season four, which he could have won it for them. But they tend to give people a year behind.
Well, Peter Dinklage is that whole show, in my opinion. I mean, he's the one you most look forward to seeing on Game of Thrones. But even Peter Dinklage, I think it was him who gave credit to the guy who plays Mike from the stage.
Well, Mike, that one episode of Better Call Saul, he should have won an Emmy just if he did nothing in the entire season other than that one episode. And it was up there with some of the True Detective stuff with McConaughey in that season and some of the stuff with Breaking Bad.
Can I jump in with breaking news?
What's that?
Marcus, are you saying that Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, they're bad shows? Is that what you're saying in chat?
I'm just raising hell because honestly, I have not seen either.
Oh, you're just being a dick.
Oh, he's what doing is it what about they
the
do?
Chat? Okay, gotcha. The chat just brings out the trolls in people. It just
it does. Marcus is literally just in there causing problems. He hasn't even seen these shows. Okay.
It was so quiet in chat, I figured I would just throw a grenade and see what happened.
Yeah.
Let me just say one more thing about the Emmys.
Oh, well, hold on. It's quiet in chat during Robbie's segment. Okay.
Eric the actor. I'm just reading.
I like Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Okay. But I am so tired of them sucking her. You know what? I mean, it just makes me sick. They every time them giving her a goddamn Emmy. It's like enough already. Give it to Amy Poehler. Give it to Amy Schumer, for God's sake.
Well, Amy Schumer did win an Emmy, but I don't watch the show, you know. And I hear a lot of criticisms about also this show about the Jeffrey Tambor where he plays the transgendered person or whatever, that it's not a particularly good show, but it's a statement show. And people want to be on the right side of whatever that statement is. And as a result, they win these Emmys. I don't know. I can't say. I do know that you do see that, especially we just talked about with The Daily Show, right? Oh, that's the right thought. Let's make sure that guy gets his Emmy.
Eric the actor says Veep is great.
I've never seen it.
And I'm telling you what, that How to Get Away with Murder show looks like absolute shit.
What is it?
How to Get Away with Murder. I think it's on CBS.
It's one of the Shonda Rhimes shows. And she does Scandal and Grey's Anatomy.
And Viola Davis won, and Elizabeth Moss, the last season of Mad Men, didn't get it. I was pissed.
I watched the first episode of that How to Get Away with Murder, and I just can't really watch network TV shows. They just seem so pale.
I agree.
I'm trying to think of anything on network television that I watch. Nothing. I don't watch a single show on network television.
Has anyone ever who's had a better post huge sitcom career than Julia Louis-Dreyfus? I mean, I guess Ted Danson after Cheers.
Well, I mean, there are people like Michael J. Fox, and there are people that went on to have major motion picture
TV.
George Clooney, what's that?
I just mean still in TV, though.
Oh, in TV? I mean, Newhart had carried two hit shows. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, the thing about it is that Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I know she had the New Adventures of Old Christine, but nobody watched the show.
No, it did well.
Was it a highly rated show? I know it was supposed to be good, but I didn't know it was watched.
I think it was. I think it got like 5 seasons or something.
Robbie, was it a highly rated show?
I think that it performed well in short spurts. I don't think that overall, I mean, it was on like 3 seasons, I think. So it couldn't have been that bad. I mean, I watched a couple of episodes of that show, and I think she had one more show actually in between Veep and that show.
Trying to look up the Wikipedia.
Well, I just saw a list of the funniest sitcom characters.
It had 5 seasons.
I just looked at a list of the funniest sitcom characters of all time, and they had number 1 Elaine Bennis. Now, that was a great character. It wasn't even the funniest character on its own show. You understand? Yeah. So, again, it's funny because I'm not friends with Chris Restivo any longer, but he thinks that I'm too PC. But I see that, and it does bother me. I want to see things at face value. Is that the best performance of the year? If it is, fine. Is Veep the funniest show on television? Fine. Give it the Emmy. That's fine. But I don't want cause. I don't like when they give awards because they owe somebody because they screwed up before. I don't like that. I want the best performance to get it every single year. I don't want shows to be nominated or win because they're on the right side of whatever thought the current prevailing thought is in Hollywood culture. I don't want that.
Agreed.
I want the funniest show, and I want the best performances to win the Emmy. I don't know that didn't happen, but it doesn't smell like it did.
Well, New Adventures of Old Christine, it peaked at 29th most watched show of a season.
Yeah.
And it bound about at 77. I mean, that 5 seasons, that's a hit show.
I would definitely say, again, if you said, what do you consider a hit show, I would have been above 29, is what I'm saying. But the fact of the matter
it was a successful show.
Right. It was a successful show. It was on for 5 seasons. But what I am saying is that I wouldn't consider her having the best post big sitcom career because I guess they weren't hit shows.
Well, Veep is a hit show. I mean, I know it's on HBO, but she's had 2 successful shows. I mean, how many people have had one monster show and two other successful TV shows?
Yeah, and I agree it's a hit show, but it's not The Sopranos. You understand? It's not even Entourage.
No, but she's already had The Sopranos for comedy.
No, okay, yeah, I got you. But we're talking about Post, and I'm racking my brain right now. I guess Barney Fife, right? Help me out, Robbie. Why is his name escaping me?
Don Knotts.
Yeah, he was on Three's Company, which was a number one show. And he was on The Andy Griffith Show, which was a number one show. I know Newhart, I don't know if it was a number one show, but I know he had two top five shows, Bob Newhart. And I know Newhart, both shows were on for a lot more than five seasons.
What about anybody on MASH?
Ed O'Neill, Eric, the actor, just brought up. Ed O'Neill's on Modern Family, and he was on Married with Children.
True. But I still say that Lane has them all beat.
Well, Bill Murray also won an Emmy last night.
For what?
Well, I actually saw the series. It was called Olive Kittredge. It was about a woman with depression. It was a tough go, okay? But I stuck with it. I watched the whole thing. And Bill Murray had the smallest of parts. And this was a give it to the guy who's the movie star who did a TV series.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I love the idea of Bill Murray winning an Emmy or an Oscar, right? But give it to him for when he's deserved it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was in Lost in Translation. He was in Groundhog Day, something that you're like, well, nobody's ever going to win it for a shit movie like that. Why? It's iconic. Yeah. But, I mean, I think he's only been nominated twice, right? And he's lost both times. But, yeah, you're right. That's another time where they say, okay, well, we owe this guy. Or it's the right thing to do, right? Which seems to be the prevailing thought.
Well, that's our discussion on the Emmys. Two guys that didn't watch it and one that did. And we watched four shows total. That's what we did. Let's take a break.
We had a lot to say.
We had a lot to say. Imagine if we'd watched TV and the show. Now, what about Adam? What's his name? Adam Sandberg?
Yeah.
How did he do?
He did a competent job.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take that. Let's come back. We'll try to do a competent job. We're going to talk about more sexy nanny stuff with Chrissy Teigen. Well, he's not on the show, but whatever. Robin Joe Show, be right back.
With summer in full swing, there's a lot of places you want to go, but the post office isn't one of them. Driving there, parking, waiting for a clerk, what a hassle. So use Stamps.com instead to buy and print real U.S. postage for any envelope or package using your own computer and printer. Right now, use the promo code RobinJoe for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com today. Click on the microphone and type in RobinJoe. That's Stamps.com. Promo code RobinJoe.
The Robin Joe Show.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
A few weeks ago, we talked about Ben Affleck getting into trouble with his wife, having an affair reportedly with this gorgeous supermodel-looking, perfect and nanny. And Chrissy Teigen, she's a supermodel herself, Sports Illustrated model, husband of John Legend, the singer, on that show Lip Sync. Actually, follow her on Twitter. She's very funny. I like her. She says, no hot nannies, drivers, or maids. It's an ongoing joke in my house. I do want kids one day, so it's something that I have to think about. But the rule is no hot nannies. I trust John, but you never know with these men. Yeah, I think she's right.
She's right. She is right. You can't have a hot chick living in your house. John Legend is a perfectly good-looking guy, but once they have that degree of success, there's this power. And they obviously people are drawn to it, especially the vulnerable. And those are the people that are cleaning your house for $10 an hour or putting your kid in its onesie. And so if they're smoking hot, yeah, that's something that you probably don't want to. It's temptation, right? Where everybody's subject to it. I think that's a good idea.
I think it is. Some people got mad at it. They were like, no, it's a very good idea. I believe you should have no one working in your house that would blow you. So that leaves out, that means no women, no straight women, no guys, and all it really leaves is a butch lesbian. That's who should be.
No, Chris Restivo. He's a very homophobic. He would not blow you.
A homophobic man or a butch lesbian.
Yeah, but do you want, either one of those as your nanny, not because there's not because there's anything wrong with butch lesbians, but you want this very gentle, nurturing type of person. You wouldn't have a construction worker. You follow what I'm saying? You wouldn't have, right. You wouldn't have Chaz Bono. That wouldn't be your nanny. You'd have somebody with a soft voice and a soft heart, right?
You don't
and
think
a lot of times
lesbian,
those chicks are hot.
Right. You know, so you think a butch lesbian is just going to be like, stop crying.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I feel like that. Look, the guy, no guy's attracted to a butch lesbian. And butch lesbians aren't, they might, maybe they're attracted to the wife. But like, you can't have a hot chick because she might also, the wife might want her also. Or just a hot dude. Because the wife might want her and the hot dude might want you.
Well, I think I'd be able to resist the advances of a hot dude. I'm pretty sure.
Hey, if he's in your house every day, he's doing a great job. He's cleaning up.
Oiling himself
up. Giving you hints. Yeah. You're mad at the wife. That guy's right there ready to just take care of you. You don't need that kind of pressure.
Good question. I'm not attracted to the male form. I don't think the best looking man on the planet could lure me into bed. I don't think he could.
Well, let's get the best man on the planet on the show, Robbie, and have him try to bang Joe.
Well, Katie did have something interesting to say in chat.
Yeah, she said she was a nanny and had to quit because the father hit on her. That doesn't surprise you at all, right?
No, but that's, I would never hire Katie to be my nanny.
Of course not. You can't have Katie running around your house. The guy's obviously going to hit on her.
Yeah. And that's sort of a fetish as it is. The hot chick that's very sweet and tender with the baby, but then you want to see the other side of her, you know, the real her. You get the, so maybe this is just me. But no, so when was she a nanny? I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is back in the day. In chat, it says, does Joe's new landlord have daughters in the house? Nope, he does not. No daughter.
But he has sons that bring over girls. So.
They do. He does. He does have sons that bring over girls, and he also has a girlfriend. But somehow I've been able to resist.
That's Captain Cupcake, and he also just asked if we could get the lawyer that hit on Katie on the show.
Yeah, let's give him a call.
We were talking about cheating hypotheticals, Joe and I, before the show, and I was asking some of them to Wander, and you had you said something that I didn't agree with, and then she actually backed you up on this, that if a woman catches her husband, it's better to catch her husband in bed with three women than it is one woman. The idea being that three women, it's just some sexual romp, where the one woman, it could be like a relationship.
Well, I don't think either's good.
Of course not.
You probably won't recover from either, but one is clearly just a physical experience. You don't fall in love with three women.
Right.
Or maybe you do. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like what you're doing there is experiencing whatever erotica, right, or whatever erotic circumstance that you can put yourself in. But if there's one person, it still might be the same, but obviously you don't know that. You know, if you're just there with one person, I would imagine, maybe not initially, because there's some shock of seeing just arms and legs everywhere and, you know, tie wraps and whatever else, candle wax or whatever else I have going on.
To Wanda said it, she would be impressed. She didn't know I had that kind of stamina. I don't have that kind of stamina.
Do you think she's joking? There's no way if she walked in and there were three girls in there, she'd be impressed.
I mean, part of her would be, but she wouldn't voice that. She'd voice anger. She'd be more upset if she walked in and I was eating in the bed than if I was having sex with someone. There's potato chip crumbs in our bed, then it's World War III.
If
she also said this. She said it would be worse for her to catch me out on a date with a woman to some place that Tawanda's always wanted to go versus me in bed with a woman.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, women, they want intimacy.
Right.
Men, so, you know, you hear it a million times, men give love to get physical affection, and women give physical affection to get the emotional affection. We're built the opposite, but it still works out because we're both seeking these things. It doesn't mean that we don't want these things too, right, but we also have a stronger drive to one versus the other. But, I just lost my train of thought. But if you came in and you saw three women, yes, that would be a spectacle. But I believe that what you'd eventually say is, all right, after more thought, you go, okay, well, that's only a physical act. Can I recover from it? Most likely no, right? Most likely you can't. But
probably not.
You got a much better shot than if you're in there,
yeah,
you know, playing like Robbie with his mixtape in and candle lights and, you know.
She also said that if someone leaves you, and I agree with this, for the same kind of a person, it's worse than in the opposite. Like, if I left her for another black woman, that's worse than if it was a white woman.
Okay, I get that. We also mentioned, by the way, if Tawanda, you walk in and Tawanda catches you in bed with another woman, she's swinging, is she going to start fighting?
Is Tawanda going to fight me if she catches me?
Is she going to fight anybody?
Yeah, she might. She's going to, well, Tawanda, would you start swinging on someone if you walk in and I'm in bed with a woman? Are you going to attack us physically? She would just ask us both to leave and then call another man, so.
That's what she'd do. She'd immediately call another man.
Yep. She's the thing got, is trust that, me, she's got people. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, she probably could call a man and be having sex within the next. I mean, if she called the Indian right. guy from next door, he'd probably come over and bang her. She, you know what I mean? She probably had seconds.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's got more options. But she said, like, the guy she dated before me said, oh, because she told him about me. And oh, it's a wild. White guy, this guy's a black guy. Oh, you probably just wanted a white guy then. Really, she just didn't like him. So I guess people do. It's easier to rationalize and say, "Oh, it's not. I'm not what she wanted." If they leave you, like if you leave Katie, if she leaves you for another, if a man your age, that's going to be worse than if it's a guy 25. I think
another comic my age. Yeah, that would bother me.
Not she even another comic, just another guy.
She leaves me for Bill Monahan. That's going to bother me. Eric, the actor, said in chat that if Tawanda saw you on a date paying the bill, she'd get pissed. Now, I think what would bother you more, and we were talking about this too, if, like, it's a Newman scenario on Seinfeld where Jerry was dating a girl and she used to date Newman, he couldn't recover.
Right.
What would happen? Tawanda leaves you. She leaves you for a good-looking guy 10 years younger than you. Or she leaves you for Chris Restivo. What bothers you more?
The Restivo thing bothers me more because people are never going to let me hear the end of that.
You would never hear the end of it.
I mean, that's every time I see someone, hey, here Restivo's banging your girl. It's never going to stop.
Yeah, but if Katie left me for Restivo, I'd be like, well, there's something wrong with her. So that's probably a good thing. It would also be, I think, be hilarious. Yes, people would give me shit, but that would be hysterical, right?
It would be. But
plus, I could get her back eventually. He's not going to keep a girl, Restivo. He hasn't managed to do it now.
Well, you
screaming
wouldn't want
out
her.
The N-word all day long. He's not going to get a girl doing that.
You wouldn't want her back, though.
Yeah, that would be tough to say, all right, let's try to repair things.
All right, what would be worse? Katie leaves you. For Restivo, but then what would you be more likely to take her back? She leaves you for Restivo, they have sex once she comes back to you, or she bangs 10 guys in one night, but they're all good looking guys.
Oh man, that's good. let me think.
I mean, she just goes to town one weekend.
I mean, 10 guys in one night is gonna, that would be hard to take, right? But that's right. Obviously just like, look, there's this physical thing I want to get out of my, so whatever that is. If that was a one-time thing, I'd be like, hey, by the way, does everybody know about it? The 10 guys?
Yeah, she's Facebooking about it. Guy number 7 coming right up. I don't know if people know or not.
I mean, if people don't know the 10 guys, I'd be like, man, that was a screwed up thing, but that I could get over before I could get over Restivo. I couldn't get that. I mean, did he drug her? You know what I mean? And then force himself on her?
I don't know, man. 10 guys. Then every time you're having sex, you're thinking, am I even close to?
No, I mean, that's honestly, that doesn't bother me at all, but. The idea that you're like, you know what, I want to get with Restivo. He's just such a bad person. You know what I mean? That would be more difficult to overcome than the 10 guys. The 10 guys could probably overcome right now if that happened in her past. If it happened when we were together, yes, obviously that would be something that would be very difficult to get past. But if she came, hey, like I got a confession, I did this, I'd be like, oh my God, really? That honestly, I would nothing. I would just be like, all right.
Robbie, what's your answer to that hypothetical with your girlfriend?
I think the Restivo is way worse. Honestly.
All right. What if it's 100 guys? It's a weekend. It's a
100
video.
100 guys?
Yep. It's a video.
I mean, that's not even physically possible.
Yeah, it is.
It's been done. 100 random guys, and they're all better looking than Restivo.
That'd be real tough to overcome. 100 guys? That means you're just walking to a bar going, hey, I'm in this room. Just keep coming. You know what I mean? Yep. That's wow. Yeah, that'd be tough. I couldn't overcome that.
All right, so that's the number, 100.
100 is the number.
Okay.
101 for me.
All right. classic Robbie. That's how much we feel about Restivo. Hey, your girlfriend got flashed, Robbie. What's up with that?
We just decided randomly to just go to the beach this weekend, okay? Not knowing it was bike week. And so the place was storming, just filled from end to end with people on Harleys and other various motorcycles. And some of them, there were a lot of older guys, but they were, you know, there were some dirt bags, okay?
Sure, yeah.
So we were riding to the boardwalk, and first my girlfriend announces that she saw a girl flash her tits and get her picture taken with some guy. She said, hey, did you see that? And I said, no, I wish I had. And then...
What did she say? What did she mention what kind of tits she saw?
No, I didn't ask.
Was it a younger woman, older woman? You didn't ask any questions.
I did not.
Do you have the type of relationship where you can ask those questions?
I just didn't want to deal with it.
Do you have the type of relationship where you can ask those questions?
I could have certainly asked that, yeah.
So you can say, what did she look like?
Yeah,
did she have C-cups? You can ask all those questions.
Could have done all that, but since I didn't see them, it really was irrelevant. So why even open up that can of worms?
Her ability to describe them probably isn't that.
Yeah, she only knows like three adjectives. How the hell is she going to describe them? They're all colors.
And then we saw some guys standing by the roadside, and they had signs. And I knew they were trouble, okay? I knew they were trouble.
Yeah, a lot of guys that make signs are trouble.
And it said, show us your tits. This is the one I saw, the sign I saw. And so my girlfriend, I pull away from the light. And my girlfriend said, I just saw that guy's penis. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, he had a sign that said, look here, and an arrow pointing down with a hole.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that is hilarious.
I love this guy.
He said he moved the sign up and down, and all of a sudden, boom, it popped out of the hole.
Did you
ask how big it was?
I did not.
You didn't? Did you ask if it was circumcised?
I didn't ask it her to just
really
penis in any way.
I would have asked everything. Yeah. By the way, was she like taken aback, or was she flustered?
Not that much.
Oh, I would have cracked up. I would have locked the doors. Let's be serious. But
how many American men penises has she seen in her life?
American, regular American men. One.
Really? Yours is the only one she's seen?
This guy wasn't American?
Two now.
Okay. Wow. I was going to say, if it's one, then that's the worst penis she's ever seen.
Tawanda got flashed years ago at Blockbuster Video.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she laughed in the guy's face and then got in the car. Didn't you call the police? No, she didn't call the police.
What did you say? Going to Blockbuster. Anything? There's a guy.
He said, hey, what?
Hey, Tawanda.
Is that what he said?
He just said, hey. And she looked over. Bam.
By the way, that's all you need to say. That's exactly what I would say if I was going to show it, if I wanted somebody to turn around.
I don't think.
If you say, hey, my penis is out, they might not turn around.
I don't think guys that flash have, I don't think that's a big penis thing. I think it's just a fetish thing. That's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
No, I've had a friend that's been flashed. My friend Gary, his wife was walking the dog down back when she lived in Crofton, and some guy was there in a trench coat. He went with the trench coat, opened it up, went home, told Gary. Gary ran out to try to find him. I gotta imagine if a guy, I wouldn't want to fight a guy who's willing to do that.
Well, no, you know he's naked underneath that. I don't want to fight him.
I don't want to fight him for a multitude of reasons. The first reason is that somebody's willing to do that's willing to do a lot of things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Killing you might be one of them. So, yeah, I go up there and he's got a knife. What am I going to do? I can't beat up most men. So now I'm going to be try to beat up a guy who's crazy. The crazy people are the people who can fight. You think the people in UFC, you don't think they're crazy? They want to get punched in the face once every 3 months. That's it's crazy.
Well, you know, if you listen to the podcast Serial, which I know Katie and I did, but the, you know, the murder, the guy that found the body is a guy that had been arrested for flashing. He was, that's what he would do. And it was very weird that how he just happened to find this body, because it was off the beaten path. He was supposedly going to go there to take a leak. It's just weird that this person who has a lot to do with how it all played out is a guy that would walk around just showing his dick to people.
What's the penalty for showing your penis to somebody?
I don't know. Do you get longer sentence if you're showing it to one person, or is a group of people considered one flashing?
No, I would imagine there's offenses, but I mean, they can run concurrently or they can run consecutively. That'd be a big difference.
And if it's a child, that's obviously a different level.
Think about showing your penis. It can either be the best thing that's going to happen to you all month, or the result can be the best thing that's going to happen to you, or you can be arrested.
What do you mean?
That's the range of that one act.
What's the best thing that can happen? You think a guy flashing
not
has ever
flashing,
led to
but what I mean
happen.
Is if my penis makes an appearance, I usually end up having sex. Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But also, you could show your penis and it's not wanted, and now all of a sudden you have to sign up as you have to register as a sex offender.
Have you ever shown your penis and been rejected?
No, I don't think so. I do remember as a very young man, I was trying to get something done with this girl, and I was at my friend Dean's house. We were in college. I might have been our first year of college, might have been our second year. So I'm 18. I was 17 when I entered college. So I'm 17, 18, or 19 years old. And my friend's, his parents were out of town, right? So he goes into his room with this girl, and I go into his parents' room with my girl. He didn't want me in his parents' room, though. That's part of the story. And I'm in there, and he looks, and he's like, wait a minute, let me see where Joe is. And he goes into his sister's room, and he's like, oh, my God, he better not be in my parents' room. Opens up that door. I'm completely naked. I'm wearing no clothes at all. She's wearing every piece of clothing, including her shoes and her coat.
Hey, this is a great job producing, Robin. You're laughing at Joseph. that's really awkward.
I don't think I ended up accomplishing what I was trying to accomplish that night.
I had a friend who got a rental car. You know, they'll pick you up. Well, she's talked to this guy, and they're having a nice conversation, and he was cute or whatever, so she gets his number. And they end up having a date. She invites him over to her place. They're sitting on the couch. She says, do you want a drink? He goes, yeah. She goes to the kitchen, makes a drink, comes back. His dick is out. And she didn't say anything. They just sat there and watched TV. She was so uncomfortable. She said, do I say anything? So they're there watching, you know, I don't know what they're watching, The Voice, and he's got his dick out.
that's a little on her. I mean, if it made her uncomfortable, you have to say, look, I don't know what kind of vibe I was giving off, but I'm not ready for something like that. By the way, that's a guy you can't, I mean, it is weird because you want to get to a place where you can do that, but you can't just do it.
Maybe that's what he does. Maybe he just does that. And it works 1 out of 20 times.
No, but then why would you do that? You're already on a date. You're already in the house. Why don't you do what everybody does? Have a great conversation. Eventually say, can I kiss you? You lean in. You have a romantic kiss. You do some heavy petting. You grab a boob over the shirt. You feel the leg. I mean, everybody knows how to do it. You can't just pull your penis out. That's not how it works.
Well, I like that guy. Good for him. Let's whip it out, folks. That's the show. On that note. I don't know. Oh, wait. Yes, I'm going to be in Hartford, Connecticut this week. Close to Marcus Serta. He's not showing up, though. He's got some bullshit excuse. Mermelstein, you're probably not listening because you hate our show. But please make it down to Hartford, to Manchester, Connecticut, technically.
this weekend, I'm going to be in Salisbury, Maryland on Saturday at Roadie Joe's. I'm with Valance Michaels. I think I'm with Jeremy Hall, and I'm with, what's her name? Catherine Jessup.
You are going to hate it. I know you. You're going to hate it.
You already did it?
Yep.
Oh, I wish you hadn't told me that.
Well,
what do you mean I'm going to hate it? Tell me why.
Because you're in a bar, and you're going to be fighting for their attention.
All right. Well, you'll hear that story. And then the following weekend, I'm doing an appearance for 98 Rock on October 1st at Union Jacks in Annapolis. And then on the 2nd, I'm going to be at the Arlington Cinnamon Draft House with Rob Mayer doing the very first performance of the Newly Dead game. And you don't know what I'm doing the very next day.
I do not.
Well, girlfriend Katie and I are getting on a plane and we are flying to Punta Cana.
Whoa, Punta Cana?
I just remembered I had never mentioned that, but yes, that's what's going on.
Are you
going
to whip it out?
I would hope at some point, but you know, I guess it remains to be seen.
On the plane, underneath the blanket?
Unlikely.
That's what Punta Cana means.
Why don't you go
and whip it out?
Have you done the Mile High Club thing?
Does somebody else have to be involved in order to join the Mile High Club?
Yes.
No.
Do you want to try with Katie?
No, I don't. I'd be stressed out. I'd be like, can we just wait till we land and have our own hotel room?
All right. Well, I want you to go for it, Joe.
Thanks.
Do it. You can do it. That's the show. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.